love what you're doing up there? Great. Good stuff. We're going to start a new series on the whole concept of renewing the mind. In fact, we've called this series, So What Do You Think? As a young guy, I was at school, and as you know, my school years were not the most favourite. And I went to school with an assignment, and I handed it in, and I remember the teacher looking at my assignment that I spent at least 5 minutes doing, that I had racked my brains, and I had worked for 5 minutes on the way to school to finish this assignment. It was my best work in 5 minutes, and I handed it in. And the teacher looked at that for about, it seemed like an hour, but it was probably about 30 seconds, and just looked at this piece of paper. And as she looked at that piece of paper, I remember her looking up at me and saying, "What was you thinking?" Of which has rung in my head for a long time. I mean, I wonder if you've had a teenager come home and do something really crazy, and you go, "What was you thinking?" I see, our thinking is really important. I wonder if the Father God might ask you the question, "What was you thinking when you get to heaven? What were you thinking?" I don't know if he'll do that. But if he does, it would be a very good question. Because you see, our thinking is very powerful. What you think has a huge impact on who you are. Now, I'm going to try a little experiment. Those round tables is going to work good. Those not round tables, you're just going to have to try and work this out with each other. But I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Don't go to sleep. Moment. And I'm going to give you a statement. And I want you to take this statement. And I want you to think about it. And I want you to put it in your brain. And the words are, eyes closed. Here comes the statement. Ready? Boy hits dog. Right? Don't talk about it. Okay? Just imagine. Boy hits dog. Now, as you're thinking about that, think about the boy hits dog. What's he doing? Why is he doing it? What's the dog? What's the situation? Boy hits dog is the statement. How do you feel about this? Boy hits dog. You got that? Right. Now, if you've got someone next to you, there's a few people around you, okay, I want you to share with them around the table, just for a couple of minutes, share what comes to your mind. What do you think? It's not a combined thing. This is for you. What do you think when you hear the comment, boy hits dog? Okay, you've got 1-2 minutes. Go. Talk about it. Boy hits dog. One. They weren't even thinking. I'll come back to you. Oh, no, Rob, what would you think?
Well, I think of one of my kids laying into our...
Right. It's your little dog, not Henry.
Yeah.
So what are the boys laying into hitting little Henry?
Yeah.
How were you feeling, Rob?
Oh, man, they were in
big trouble? They're in big trouble. So the dog was innocent. Little Henry doesn't hurt anybody. And one of the boys, and you've seen him pointing to one particular one, was hitting dog and you weren't happy. Okay, let me try over here. Someone tell me about boy hits dog. Yes.
Well, my dog just finished ripping up the dolly for the boy's sister.
That naughty dog. What type of dog is it?
A cattle dog.
Okay, big dog. Is it cattle dog?
Deserved everything she got.
Right. She was naughty. And she got a whacking. How did you feel?
Well, I would have whacked her if the boy hadn't whacked her first.
Right. Yes. So you were angry. That dog deserved it, right? Okay. Over here. Yep. Here. Is that, I see two hands. Oh, can I go for a young person? Not the... Just someone slightly younger. At the back. Go, M. A little child's just whacking the dog with its hand? Yeah. What type of dog is it?
Actually, a red collar,
cocker spaniel. A little red cocker spaniel. And a little boy, a big boy, little boy, and he's just whacking that dog. Right. Do you want to tell us now?
Yeah, well, there's this kid, he was going along on his push bike, he was happy as anything, he was going along, and this red, Irish red terrier came out, and he hit the dog.
With the bike?
Yep.
Oh, so it was an accidental hitting.
Yes.
Right. Anyone over here? Yep.
Dog ate the boy's shoe.
The dog ate the boy's shoe. It wasn't his homework, it was his shoe. The boy, dog ate the boy's shoe, and the boy was angry, so he hit the dog. What type of dog was it that eats shoes? A doggy dog. A doggy eating shoe doggy, yes. Eddie, so see a hand back here. Yeah. So he just kicked the dog. Yeah. See, now, here we go, right? All these different, it's one statement. And you've all got different ideas of what that looks like, right? You've got different thinkings, you've got different concepts. Why is this so? Where does our thinking, one statement, why is it so different? What determines what we think? Experience. Yep. An experience. Yeah. What else? Lack of information. I've only given you a bit, but you've built on it. Yeah. Okay. What else? I heard a word.
Reaction.
Yeah, your reaction to that straight away. Because you see, your thinking has been determined. Just like the picture, there has been seeds been sown. You see, if I had said, boy hits dog to me, I imagine this bunch of dogs coming and attacking a young fella delivering leaflets. Because as a young fella, I had to deliver leaflets, right? And I remember going down the street and I had an Alsatian coming this way, I had a dog coming this way, and they were all yakking and barking, and I did the amazing thing and I threw my leaflets in the air and took off out of there. You see, for me, my experience was dogs can attack you. And therefore, it was self-protection. For you who are dog lovers, and you love your little poodle or whatever it might be, and you would see it being annoyed because some naughty little kid has come and hit your dog. You see, our experiences, our understanding, our values are built into our mind, and they determine how we respond. Hence the scripture that comes from Proverbs 23:7. Says this, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." In other words, what you think in your mind or in your heart is what you become. And notice the rest of that scripture. She's really important. We don't quote it much. It says, "Eat and drink," he says to you, "but his heart is not with you." In other words, I'm saying I will do something. I will do this, but my heart's not there. And so our thinking is determining what we do. It's not what we say determines what we do. It's what we think determines our action. It's what goes on in your mind. And so our scripture for the next few weeks is going to be from Romans 12:2. You've known it, you've heard it, you've quoted it. It basically says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we're going to break this up. We're going to look at conformity. We're going to look at renewing. We're going to look at, hang on, I've forgotten, transformation. And the last one is the perfect will of God. They're all in that scripture. And we're going to pull that apart over the next few weeks as we look at this. Because you see, your mind is the most powerful thing. It's huge. It's the most, your brain is the most powerful organ in your body, right? It's incredible. And ever since creation of time, this brain, this mind has been important. You see, it's in the mind where sin is created. It's in the mind where your destiny is set. It's in your mind which relationships are built. It's in your mind where joy is created. It's in your mind where sadness is created. It's in your mind where depression is created. It's in your mind. It's in your mind which will determine your responses to different situations. It's in your mind. And your mind's a power. You've seen there's heaps of programs. It's your mind that determines your health. It can make you better, it can make you worse. Your mind is a powerful thing. There are courses on the power of the mind. How to become successful in life by using your mind. How to become well by using your mind. Your mind is an incredible thing. It says that we only use 10% of our brains. Some of you will look at me and say, "Steve uses about one." But we don't use the full capacity of it. And our minds are incredible things. And so I want to suggest to you that in our minds is where God wants to work. You see, I can come to Jesus and I can be born again. I come to him and I come out the front and I give my life to Jesus and I have an amazing experience and there's lights and there's cameras and there's action and I know God has done something in my heart and it feels great. And then I go and I live in the same way. And I come back again for more prayer and I have this great experience with God. But I still got the same addictions. I still got the same habits. I still got the same sin life. And so we come again on Sunday, we have communion again, and we say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And he says, I do. And you go out, and you do it again. And you do it again. And you do it again. Why? Because you see, for a non-believer, being born again is significant. But for a believer today, it's about renewing the mind. You see, it's about changing the mindset. And the scripture talks about that. It's an ongoing transformation. It's an ongoing sanctification. It's an ongoing growth in our minds. You can be born again, but we need to renew our thinking. And that's the part we don't talk about very often. We talk about coming to Jesus. We talk about changing on the outside. But you know what? We've got to change on the inside. And it's about changing our mind. It's about putting our minds. The word conforms means to fashion yourself. And too often we fashion our minds to the things of this world rather than to the things of God. Conform no longer to the things of this world. We need to rethink some of the stuff we're going to do. Just watch this video for a moment. It's a good video. Uh-oh. Was it working before? It's a great video. That's still the Egypt in my life that I won't let go of. Jesus says, turn it around. Let go of it. Cut yourself free of it. And live with your eyesights for Canaan. Have a new mind because the new mind says, I will forgive you. The new mind says, I'm forgiven, therefore I can forgive you. Be freed. You see the concept of bitterness, of hurt, that we carry. That's the chains of Egypt. And to renew the mind means letting go of those chains and walking out and crossing that Red Sea and coming in and working towards the distance that's out there, which is Canaan, your promise of life. Most sickness is caused because of bitterness. Most sickness is caused because of anger that we can't let go of. So most sickness is caused by unforgiveness. Most sickness is caused by a mindset that pulls us down. And you wonder why we carry it, because our minds are still set in Egypt. Renewing of your mind says, I'm going to move out of Egypt and I'm going to move towards our Canaan. We might just have a quick look at this video. I was going to show you two parts of it, but we're going to do it all at once. Have a look at this video. Reinforce what we're trying to say today and over the next few weeks.
Nothing I do is ever good enough.
Why do I keep doing the wrong things? I'm so stupid.
After all I've done, God could never love me.
No one cares about me.
No one understands me.
Why do I keep trying?
There's no hope for me.
No one cares about me.
God could never forgive me. Why am I so alone?
No one is there.
God, why have you left me?
God can never love me.
I can't do it.
What's the use?
God, you're so distant.
God has given up on me.
No one loves me.
Hold it. Quick feedback. What did you hear? Some of the words that were coming out there. Shout them out real quick.
Negative words.
What else? Sorry? Hopelessness. Yep.
Self-pity.
Sorry? Despair. That one over here. Rejection. Sorry? I can't hear, sorry.
Defeat.
Yes, defeat. Yep. Sorry?
Unbelief.
Unbelief. And what are those words? They're the words of Egypt, aren't they? Aren't they the words of Egypt? Aren't they the words that you would expect coming out of Egypt? I think so. But you see, there's words on the way to Canaan. Listen to this.
Why should I ever feel alone when God tells me in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you?
Why should I ever say I can't?
When Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Why should I ever feel guilty when 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness?
Why should I feel condemned when Romans 8:1 tells us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus?
Why should I ever be afraid when 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give us a spirit of fear,
but He gave me one of power and love and self-discipline?
Why should I worry and stress out all the time when 1 Peter 5:7 says,
cast all your anxiety on Him because He cared for me?
Why should I feel like a loser when Romans 8:37 says, I am more than a conqueror through God who loves me?
What did you hear there? Hope. Sorry? Hope. What else did you hear?
Oh, truth.
What else did you hear? Trust. What else did you hear?
Life.
What else did you hear?
Faith.
Anything else?
More than a conqueror.
They're words of Canaan. And that's the words. That's the message. You see, we don't have to be conformed to the Egypts anymore. We don't have to be conformed to the strongholds of this world. But as we read the scripture, not out of habit because it might get you to heaven, not because you want to know more stuff, but because you want to take this and you're going to put it in your mind to renew the mind. Because it's with the words of God. Jesus was in the desert. He was tempted by the devil who wanted to take him back to bondage. He wanted to take this world back to bondage. What did Jesus use to overcome the enemy? The Word of God. And that's the words of Canaan. I'm going to ask our helpers to come, for we're going to go into a time of communion. As we prepare for a week of fasting and prayer, I'm going to invite you to come to Jesus right now and say, Jesus, I know you've forgiven me. That's what the cross was about. You see, you're going to get a piece of bread, and that bread is a reminder of His body, of His flesh. You're going to get a cup that's reminding you of the sacrifice of Jesus. That's what it is. It's just a reminder. It's a reminder to you today that you're on your way to heaven. You're on your way to the promised land. That you've been set free. You've come out of Egypt. But as you take that today, I'm going to invite you to say, Lord, would you start to renew my mind? Help me see the future, not the past. Help me move forward, not backwards. I don't want to make decisions from my time in Egypt. I want to make my decisions to move ahead towards Canaan. And this week in the prayer of fasting, would you allow God to come and start renewing your thinking? To start finding scriptures that you hang on to. Scriptures that you speak out. You see, when you're down and you feel like you've got no finances and you go, oh, it's no good. I can't do this. You remember the scripture that says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. When you're feeling like there's just no one around that cares, no one around that loves you, then remember the scripture that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's renewing the mind. It's taking your eyes away from Egypt and looking towards Canaan. It's about, God, renew my mind. Change my thinking. Because my thinking is binding me up. My thinking is determining my destiny. I want to have a new thinking. It takes a lifetime. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lifetime of constantly saying, God, put my mind in line with your mind, rather than having my mind in line with the world's mind. When the world looks at the disasters and it goes, oh my goodness, the world's getting hotter. We've got to turn the lights off. And we go, yeah, that's a good idea. But the truth of the matter is, the scripture says very clearly that God isn't the one that's in control of the universe. God's in control of the universe. Turn the lights off and save energy, but step into a God who has all energy. That's what my scriptures say. When the world says, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? We're all going to blow up. You go, it's okay. Because my scripture says they'll have an eternity with the living God. See, it's taking our minds and putting them in line with scripture. If your family, put your family in line with scripture. With your work, put your work in line with the mind of Christ. With your relationship with your husband or your wife, put your mind. But she doesn't do this, and she doesn't do that, and he doesn't do this, and he doesn't do that. Bring your mind out of captivity and put it in line with the mind of Christ, who says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And wives, submit to your husbands as you would submit to God. And all of a sudden, the bondage of Egypt gets let go as I turn my eyes and my mind to the things of Canaan. Would you let God do that for you this week? With us as a church, as we seek God's direction for communion on the rise, let's stop in the bondage stuff and let's start saying, God, put my mind in line with your mind. Remember Jeff said last week, I still haven't heard his message yet, I'm struggling to get it, but he told me about it. And his question was, what if God was taken out? You see, quite often, it wouldn't make a lot of difference because you see our minds are still over here in Egypt. But when your mind is there and you take God out, all of a sudden, life changes because I've got nothing to hang on to anymore. Would you allow your minds to be renewed by Christ? By the Word, by His Spirit, and by the decisions that you make. Isn't it interesting that in the Garden of Eden, what did Satan attack? The physical flesh? No. He didn't go and stab them in the back. He didn't try and kill them. He infiltrated their minds. He took them to a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Where does the knowledge of good and evil go? Into my mind. And that's where man's got separated from a real relationship with God, because they'd already set their own mindset rather than God's mindset. Father, we hold these before us right now, this cup and this bread. And we say, thank you, Jesus, that you forgive us of our sins. Thank you, Jesus, that we have an eternity destination with you. Thank you, Jesus, that there are promises in Scripture for us today that you have made available to even us who are Gentiles. You've given it to us right here and now. I'm going to ask you now, Father God, by your Spirit and by your Word, you will renew our minds, that our minds would come in line with your mind. Our future comes in line with your future. My heart comes in line with your heart. And as we come into a time of prayer and fasting this week, I'm going to pray that even now, you will set us free. You will cleanse us. We ask your forgiveness and we receive that forgiveness right now. Cleanse us. That we come to this prayer and fasting with clean hands and a clean heart. So that you will speak into our minds. You'll speak into our heart. You'll speak into our spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Let's eat and drink together.